Hey, Mike Valenti here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This podcast on 97.3 The Fan is presented by Hummel Casino. Fun above all else.
All right, we're halfway home on a Thursday. Ben and Woods, 97.3 The Fan. Great to be here with you this morning, representing our underdog San Diego Padres. And just a pleasure to be able to talk baseball. Thank you guys for the calls. Pretty good calls this morning. I like what everybody had to say. And man, excited for the weekend. Got a live broadcast we're going to be doing out at Ailsmith from 2:30 to 4:30 on Saturday. And Ailsmith's a really rad place, very big and spacious. So kind of need your asses in the seats to make it. Well, because it's a big space. You know, if it was in the studio, you get 14 of you in here and it would be packed. But we want the bodies out there. Have some beers with us, talk a little baseball. You never know. It might even put you on the air. You never know. You never know what can happen at a live remote. Ben could give you hugs. We can do that again. I think it's a great idea. Who will be starting game one?
Dylan Cease.
Yeah, bring your ass. That was loud. Dylan Cease. So maybe we can do hugs for cats on Saturday. You down?
Yeah, absolutely. I had money for pets in San Diego, specifically cats.
I had people stopping me last night saying, "Where's Ben? I want to give him a hug." And I said, "All right, well, he's hiding from us somewhere."
I was literally as far away from you as possible.
Yeah, like Rhode Island. Yeah.
I was at the top of the Marriott by myself.
Solo.
I was solo. A tier one was at the top of the Marriott. You got a selfie with me up above him in the background. I was that far above downtown San Diego.
Jennifer just said in the chat, wait, when and where? I missed it.
Here we go. I'm going to read the whole thing.
All right, do the whole thing.
All right. Come out to Ailsmith in Miramar on Saturday to see us as we broadcast live from 2:30 to 4:30 to get you ready for the San Diego LA playoff game. Ailsmith 394 Pale Ale is the official rally pint of the playoffs. Watch all of the San Diego postseason action at the Ailsmith Tasting Room in Miramar with game day specials on 394 and more. Root for the hometown team with other fans while enjoying the game with sound. That's this Saturday from 2:30 to 4:30 at Ailsmith in Miramar, right across from the military base, Ailsmith like court. It's pretty easy to find near that big pyramid.
Yeah,
thing.
Pyramid. Depending on what side you're coming from,
After or before the pyramid. Yeah. If you're coming from the west, after the pyramid. If you're coming from the east, just before the pyramid on the north side of Miramar Road. There,
I'll buy some beers again. Let's just let's have fun. Let's get weird and you know, get fired up for a game. I got to see what's on the agenda for the fam that night on Saturday. But, yeah, there's a chance I stay and watch a couple of innings and watch Sammy's pregame. And would love to just hang out with you guys, man.
Invited the Tier 1 baseball team.
Oh, did you?
The Tier 1 basketball
Atta
team.
Boy.
Like, we're going to be rolling deep Saturday afternoon.
Good.
Come on out. The TV cameras in town out.
Channel
10
crew.
I said, if you're not going to L.A., because I do know a lot of people are planning on driving up there this weekend. And checking out game one and two.
Hopefully Fox 5 comes out and hangs out with us. And Jake.
CBS 8.
CBS 8. Yeah. Got to spend some time yesterday with our beloved Jake from CBS.
What's his last name?
Garagnani.
Pretty good, I think.
He is a sharp guy.
They all are.
Darnang.
Julian.
Julian. Jesus, man. It's like we had to take a picture with him. You're like, you never know how ugly you are until you stand next to some of the guys in town. You're the elder statesman.
We were just missing Troy Hirsch.
Yeah, just missed Troy Hirsch. He was the only one we needed. Did you see my picture?
Did you collect their trading cards or something?
Did you see my picture with all of them? Did you?
No, I didn't see. You had a picture with all of them?
You didn't see
this? No, I missed this one.
Oh, man, I was trolling you on my Twitter.
It was before the game yesterday.
Oh, I will go back on your Twitter account. I was so FOMO of your picture with Sheil Seidler. I think I missed the picture with you and all my TV competitors in town.
Yeah.
There they are. Look at that.
Missing you, Darnay and Troy.
Yeah, there they are.
Look how sharply dressed they are.
I know. Well, as I said, Julian got best dressed in San Diego.
Wow.
Jake looks pretty good, though.
He does.
Too.
He looks really good. I liked his jacket.
It's dangerous for you two to be standing next to those two.
It's terrible. It's a terrible, terrible feeling, man. Terrible feeling. So, yeah, bring it on out to AleSmith. Would love to see you guys and hang out. Holy cow, man. It's really happening.
All right. So, I saw one of my favorite tweets I did see last night was from Megan Reindel when she said to Pauly, "Don't come home unless you're soaked in champagne." And then 2 hours later, update, he's home and it smells like Typhoon Saloon in my house. So, Paul, you were in there in the champagne-soaked locker room last night. What was it like? I've actually never been in one of the champagne celebrations before. I'm always on the air doing live shots somewhere outside while my other TV colleagues always get to go in and do the interviews and get soaked.
That's the question I wanted to ask. So, why are they in there, but you're not?
I don't know exactly. I think I'm just on the air more. They like have me like actually on there. You can't go live in there if you're not a rights holder. So I'm always like outside doing live shots.
You're literally a
rights
holder.
Not on TV, though.
Oh. Mm.
So that doesn't work that way. So, Pauly, what was it like in there?
It was wild. I went down into the tunnel after the end of the eighth inning.
Oh, that's nerve-wracking.
And, yeah, they have TVs in the tunnel, so you're kind of watching to see how it make sure it goes the way you're hoping it does. And we're just kind of waiting in line to go into the clubhouse. And I was standing with Annie and Jeff Sanders from the UT, and we were just hanging out, watching that last half inning and talking. And Annie has been in that scene many times, and she looks around and she goes, "I have never seen this many people trying to get into the clubhouse."
Wow.
The line was probably 100 plus media members deep. It went all the way down the tunnel back to like the home plate club.
Jeez.
And you're like, "Oh my God." And so you're just sitting there, final out happens. Nobody goes in until after the players come off the field with their shirts and their hats, and then they do their own private toast with the manager, or I think yesterday was David Peralta gave the talk.
Yep.
And so that was cool. And then you could hear from the tunnel the eruption after the, you know, whatever the final thoughts were from David Peralta before they all start popping bottles. But you were sitting there. We watched the giant carts full of ice and beer come rolling right on by us into the clubhouse, and then the champagne. And then they popped open the doors and said, "Come on in." And I just kind of walked in and was rolling on my phone. Figure I'll splice something together later. I just want to kind of collect it and have it and just observe and soak this all in.
Now, my problem is this. I am someone over the course of 49 years that has tended to, I will get caught up in the moment. And I would have feared that I would have been a bit too
participatory. You're not supposed to be participatory. You're supposed to
exuberant.
Document it off on the sidelines.
Walk right up to the bucket. Oh, these beers.
Just like I really know that about myself. It's part of the reason that I left. Some guys are not meant for that moment, and I believe that I'm one of them.
Now, our Annie Hallibren got completely drenched. Manny got her.
Toddy got it.
That's right. You got a picture of it.
Like right at the end, I was kind of walking by. I just had my phone out. I started taking a picture. I saw her talking to him, and then he just like dumped an entire beer right on her head.
Yeah, it's great.
As she's trying to interview him. Man, it was.
That's a sign of, that's both a sign of affection and respect.
Oh, yeah. 100%.
To get that from a player during a celebration.
And had I not gotten it, I would have been very disappointed.
Very. Anxiety ridden.
Like, yeah, I would have been like, "Why didn't? This is why terrible.
It was wild.
Why didn't
dude?
They like, soak me?
It was spread. It was just going everywhere. Champagne. You didn't know if it was champagne or beer. It was mostly beer, I think. After they did the champagne right at the start, and then it just turned to all Budweiser.
Did you see Shilty give AJ Preller a literal noogie? Like a literal, like, "Hey man,
I,
like,
that was one of my
dead.
Favorite moments.
I died.
Like, grabbed him." Held him like a headlock and
yeah,
poured
beer
on
beer,
his head.
Rubbed it in.
Yeah.
Dude, Ha Sung Kim was in there just raging with everybody.
I love it.
And that made me just, that made me so happy. Of course, you know, we played the audio earlier with Joe talking with Tony. He was doing interviews with all the people that were in there. And so you're like, okay, I mean, I hope that's a good sign. Like, I guess if he got bad news, he probably wouldn't be smiling and talking and partying right now. He might be hiding in the back room or something. So that was comforting to see. But yeah, man, like that was my first time getting to go down there and just sit there and watch. It's kind of awkward because, you know, they're all in these little like pockets of players.
Pods, yeah.
Kind of dance circles. See, and the music is raging. And yeah, no, I did not try to get in there.
I would, that's
but you're kind of following the action. And all of a sudden, you're also, all you're doing is trying to be aware of your surroundings. You're like, I don't want to be too close to somebody I probably shouldn't be. I don't want to be in the middle of anything.
Nothing.
You're like, I'm a little too close to the action. I'm going to just back up a little bit.
I did see the video and I didn't see who it was. Alisa pointing it out. Ha-Sung Kim's the one who pulled back Manny's pants on his backside and poured beer right down. He did not like that. I don't think
Manny he said he like was freezing.
Didn't like that. Yeah, he was already cold with the shirt off.
It was fine because it was him.
Now, one of you was called out by a Padres player.
Really?
Who was?
One of you.
One of us. Is that a tease?
No.
No, it's showtime.
Like during
play second base for the senior.
Crony?
Of the
it had to be me then.
Yeah.
Oh boy. For what?
Not walked, being there?
He walked by and gave him a high five and he goes, "Where the F is Woodsy?" Because he saw us earlier before the game.
Yeah, earlier before the game.
And he goes, "Where the F is Woodsy?" I'm like, freaking guy left in like the fourth, and he goes, just shakes his head and walked away.
I've left in the fifth. I wanted to see my kids, man. I can't, you know, he doesn't have kids yet. He doesn't even have a wife yet. It's different responsibilities. And I can't go 36 hours not seeing my children. And
don't blame your children.
I'm not blaming
your inability to stick it out.
It's not it.
And handle the stress of an entire baseball
that
game.
That is not it. It's not it at all. If I also, let me tell you this. I felt very uncomfortable in the Odyssey suite. I felt like a freeloader. So I was like, I'm just not comfortable. It's not nothing anybody did. This is just how I'm wired. And I didn't have a seat to sit in. And, you know, I never get to see my kids in the morning and I was going to miss them if I stayed. And it wasn't late. I mean, you got home by probably 9:30.
Showered and in bed by 10.
Which I can handle. I can absolutely handle that. But
then
just,
I was up for like 2 more hours.
Yeah,
I mean,
just wired.
Wired.
Yeah. I would like to be a part of one of those someday. But again, I fear.
Well,
I fear they're going to be like, hey, easy Turbo. You're not on the team. You know, I really do.
Well, there's that.
And then
with our credential mishap from our fearless leader, Adam, I thought, you know what? Now I know this may not happen again in the future, so I'm going to go get it right now and just soak it in. Man, it was fun. It was really cool to see that. And
Michael says I was totally welcomed. I'm not saying that I wasn't.
It's a personal,
it's how I'm wired.
That you don't feel like you belong.
It's how I'm wired.
Look,
it's just how
I'm
wired.
You don't know how it works at the company suite on a playoff game, especially. It is full of clients.
Yeah, clients and stuff.
It's very expensive. Yeah. It's show it off to your clients. So Woodsy and I went up there in what, the second or third inning?
Yeah,
and we just kind of popped in and found some seats way in the back. We didn't have much of a view of the field. We were watching the closed captioning, the in studio or in stadium feed on the television, which was synced up and it worked out fine, but it was nice to just have a seat and just kind of relax for a few
minutes. Yeah, we weren't sitting down in the, like we were watching on television, but I just, again, it's how I'm wired. And I just, again, I was like, I can't not see them till, and actually, you told you guys we were getting a nanny to help a couple days a week to do pickups and take them to do stuff. She starts today. I wouldn't have seen them till 7 p.m. tonight for 5 minutes. I was like, I can't do it.
Yeah, well, I mean, again, if you are a business owner and you are interested in maybe experiencing that suite next season, please advertise with Odyssey. Michael's in our chat. Michael, I bet there's some business owners in YouTube. Drop your email and who to contact about advertising on Padres games with Odyssey. And next season, maybe you can be in the suite and Woodsy can be uncomfortable as he comes and visits with you as the client next year.
Nails goes, Manny has a wife and kid. You didn't see him bailing early. That's true. He has a baby, though. He's got a little baby. You're worthless as a father for about the first 6-8 months. They don't even really need you. So, yeah, man, I Listen, dude, I just couldn't do it last night. So
I want to hear from some of the players that were in that clubhouse last night. So we're gonna play. I want to hear Manny. I want to hear Jackson Merrill. We'll play some of Tony's interviews for you from after the game last night when we come back. And then Eno Saris at the bottom of the hour. Don't go away. More Bennett Woods coming up after Kelly's traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Might have had a rookie mistake by the Detroit Tigers, who just dropped their playoff anthem. And I listened to it, and it's not bad. I rather enjoyed it, but it's full of cursing. So I'm glad we didn't just go live on the air with it.
Guessing this isn't an official Tigers anthem, then.
I don't think so.
Doesn't seem like MLB style to drop a curse-laden rap for their fan base.
No. But I listened to it, and it's
better,
it's,
or worse than That's What's In?
A little bit better.
Okay.
A little bit better.
All right.
He says, bitch. It's really
going all the way.
Bitch. Yeah. Come on.
Bitch.
It's really something else. So, again, I mean, they haven't been in the playoffs in a while. You know, we hopefully learned our lesson here. And hopefully we keep
were
it
we not
way.
An example to the rest of the world?
I mean, bro, they still play those guys on, like, national broadcasts, and people just point and laugh. And you're like, all right, well, hopefully we don't do that again this year. But not that it has any effect at all, but it just gives you, you know, it just gives you that thing to be like, hey, why did we do this? You know.
So I wanted to get to some of the celebration audio. Our Tony Gwynn Jr. went down from the booth, was ready, well prepared. I mean, he was fully geared up. He did not want to get a drop of beer or champagne on his clothes.
So I saw him. I went down right after the end of the eighth inning, and I was taking the elevator from the press box down to the tunnel, and Tony was walking in from the broadcast booth, and he was in board shorts, had the full poncho on and everything. He had a towel with him, and he goes, they ain't getting me like they did last time.
Yeah, so they got him.
I mean, he has to get right up in there, though, with the players when he's doing the interviews, and he knows he's going to get soaked. So he got to talk to just about everyone. Thought we'd bring a couple of those to you right here. Let's start with the captain, the minister, Manny Machado, with Tony Gwynn Jr.
I'm with the big dog, Manny Machado. Manny, you guys take care of business. You get the two wins. You earn the two off days. Just talk about what you're feeling right now.
Man, just a lot of emotions going through this right now, man. We're really enjoying it. This team has fought all year. It's been great. And, you know, just enjoy tonight and get ready for, you know, L.A. in a few days.
First at bat for you today. You come up in a big spot. You end up punching. You come up again in the next time up. And what changed in that at bat? It seemed like you got something up you could handle, took a good swing, and got things rolling.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's a game of adjustments, you know. You're facing a really good pitcher over there. And, you know, you got me that first at bat, you know, and came up with a clean inning there with us, bases loaded, no outs. And, you know, I wanted the opportunity again, and it came up. I told Victor I want it again. Came into the dugout wanting it, and, you know, it happened with two outs, you know, with Higgy starting it off, and, you know, our lineup with Arias, Toddy, Crow getting it. I get another opportunity, and, you know, just seize to the moment and, you know, driving a few runs.
I asked Toddy earlier, how big has Victor Rodriguez been for you guys this year? You've been here for a long time, been through a bunch of different hitting coaches. How big has he been for this ball club this year?
I mean, he's been huge, man. He's a positive guy, as positive as you can get. And he enjoys every single moment, keeps us positive, keeps us going. You know, whether we're down, whether we're up, whether we're in a losing streak, winning streak, he keeps it the same every single day and keeps us positive, ready on, you know, just ready for the task in hand, which is go out there and compete for 27 outs.
Now, you're at third base when Joe kind of had his injury go down. Did you notice anything different? Because we saw Kyle come up when Joe looked like he was about to throw another pitch. Did you not recognize anything from your side?
I didn't. You know, obviously, you know, what we've been dealing with all year, and, you know, he's a workhorse, man. He goes out there and doesn't complain, doesn't do anything, grabs the ball and goes out there and competes. And I know he wanted to stay in there, you know, but obviously, you know, we need him for the long haul.
Was there any type of kind of let down when your guy, Joe Musgrove, goes down, he comes, you see him having to walk off the field? Did you have to kind of have like a check yourself moment?
Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. You don't want to see it. You don't want to see it. And, you know, obviously our guy, he's been our guy. He's our guy here in San Diego. You know, he seizes up to these moments, these big moments, and always wants it. And, you know, just to see him walk off the field like that, you definitely don't want it. So, yeah, you got to regroup. Kind of took a little air out of us. But, you know, we told him, we got you, man. We're going to go out there and compete. Just get healthy, and, you know, we got you tonight.
You talked a lot about after that L.A. series, you guys clinched. You talked about enjoying the moment and then being able to kind of bounce back. You guys get 2 days to kind of do that. You're going to enjoy this moment, but you know what's ahead of you up in Los Angeles. Just talk about that series. We know this is a big rivalry. It's gained more momentum since you've been here. Just talk about this upcoming series.
Yeah, man, it's going to be fun. It's going to be fun. It's been fun all year, and, you know, I expect nothing less coming forward for this next 5 games, and, you know, just leave it on the field. We got 3 more victories that we got to win and secure, so, you know, go out there and just compete. We know they're a good, really good ball club, and, you know, they're not going to take it lightly, so we got to be ready, enjoy this moment tonight, but, you know, come back to business tomorrow.
Keep leading, man. You've been doing a great job all year, brother.
Appreciate it, brother. Appreciate it.
You liked how much he wanted that opportunity again in the second inning after striking out in the first.
It's the difference in us and them.
He was yelling.
It's the difference in us and them. If it's me, I'm like, I think my back is tight. I don't think I can go. Ah, something happened here. Oh, hang on. No, let's get to Lockridge in there.
He was like yelling in the dugout after the Higgy home run. He was like, get it back to me. And they did. And he delivered with that 2-run double. And, of course, right after that, Jackson Merrill comes up. I mean, the kid just he does not feel pressure, apparently. I don't know how that's possible, but he apparently does not feel it. He also joined Tony Gwynn Jr. in the clubhouse after the game.
I'm here with the kid, Jackson Merrill. I mean, at this point, nothing you do seems to surprise us. You seem to step up to every moment that's there for you. Just talk about playing in your first postseason and balling at the same time.
I mean, when fans come to watch you, I feel like that's a sign you got to do as best you can. You know, you got to get it all out for them, and we got an amazing crowd here every single time.
I got to ask you a little bit about your defense in center field, because at least from up top, I've noticed the last month, your route running is getting crispier and cleaner. Are you finally starting to feel comfortable patrolling center field?
I was, and then when our crowd is at the top of their lungs and ninth that I can't hear the sound, I'm like, all right, damn. Because I thought that was a chopper. I thought he, like, hit in the ground and went straight up. And then I was like, oh, no, I got to go get this. But, you know, as soon as I see it, it's in the air. It's got to be mine, you know. I got to go get it.
That's been your attitude all year. I mean, at the plate right now, you're dialed in, it seems like, hitting the ball all over the field. Yeah. This was not an easy matchup in terms of the pitching you guys saw, but once again, this lineup 1 through 9, it's deep. Just talk about having those type of guys in front of and behind you.
Yeah, I mean, we only have one in one inning with 5 runs, so it was cool to the 2-out knocks just pile up, pass the baton and just try and get a run across every single time. So we're not trying to do too much. That's when we're at our best.
That's been your model since the first day we talked in Korea. It's continued throughout the rest of this team. One of the things that I think I get a chance to see and that folks get a chance to see is your passion for this game. You, no matter what the situation is, you seem to be always carrying a high energy. Just talk, is that who you are and your role on this team?
In my opinion and my point of view, like, it's baseball, and once that at bat is over, or once that play is over, you don't get it back. So you got to give 100% at every single play, every single pitch you see, all of it. You got to lock it in, you know? That's how you got to play the game, and if you're not locked in, then you shouldn't be playing it.
Big matchup coming up.
Yeah.
Crosstown rival in the Los Angeles Dodgers.
Yeah, it's going to be loud. It's going to be loud. It's going to be a battle, but, you know, I'm confident in our guys.
Enjoy yourself, my friend.
Let's go. Come on.
Interesting. I had not even thought of that, but obviously that catch he made to lead off the ninth inning kind of had to go back. And I mean, what a different situation that is. If that ball gets over Jackson's head and, you
it's
know,
a whole different
Suarez
ball game,
is dealing
man.
With a leadoff double or triple, whole different ball game, but he made the play. He's made every single play. I hadn't thought of the sound.
Oh, yeah.
Effect, though.
Yeah.
I mean, should we be treating this more like an NFL game where
you gotta be quiet
when your team's in the field? Quiet down so they can hear the crack of the bat and have the right jump off. I've never thought of that before.
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. Stay as loud as you can possibly be.
It's like your team's on offense. Quiet. The quarterback needs to hear his signals. The outfielders need to hear the crack of the bat to know if they are supposed to go back or forward. Interesting stuff.
Hard, hard not to love him. And we got a chance to talk to his mom last night. Paulie and I ran into both his parents and caught up with Jeannie. And, you know, we were marveling just how great he's been in center field to her. And she said, yeah, I mean, at one point this season, he goes, I guess this is just what I do now. I play center field in the big leagues. And I was like, I mean, and he's done it to such a high level. He is so much more than serviceable out in center field. And I do think, I don't know if you guys heard the audio of him kind of blowing his leverage last night, but we need to have a conversation. His agent probably calling him today saying,
he did.
Yeah, he kind of blew his leverage. He's like, I love San Diego. I love it. I want to be here forever. It's like,
it was an emotional moment.
Of course.
I want to ask Eno about Jackson's defensive metrics and kind of how they've evolved over the course of the season. I'm sure he's looked into some of those numbers. Eno Saris, our smart baseball segment, is coming up next. You do not want to go anywhere as Bennett Woods continues on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Paul is getting Eno hooked up for our smart baseball segment. Love Eno to join us someday on a roundtable if he was ever in town. That would be awesome.
He would be elite.
We got a roundtable today coming up at 10 o'clock. It's our commercial-free one-hour Padres roundtable featuring all of our hosts together. It is presented by San Diego Roundtable Pizza. For takeout or delivery, go to roundtablepizza.com. Roundtable, it is pizza royalty. We'll talk some smart playoff baseball with our friend Eno Saris from The Athletic right after this check of traffic on 97.3 The Fan.
It's time for the super polished, yet to be named Smart Baseball Weekly segment with Eno Harris. Saris, son of a bitch. Brought to you by 7 Mile Casino, just 7 minutes from the ballpark by the bay in Chula Vista. Here's Eno Saris with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
Eno joining us with some smart playoff baseball here. Good morning to you, Eno.
Good morning.
Yeah, so, I mean, it's always good to be a smart baseball decisions, but as you know, if you saw the movie Moneyball or read the book, the playoffs are the time when the long haul, the everything playing out, the averages, the little margins don't apply as much because it's all a sprint and short series. So, like, how much of it goes out the window when you get to the postseason, or should you always be playing the percentages that you would have been doing in the regular season?
You know, I recently went and tried to find, at least in terms of team building, the types of numbers that correlate with postseason success. And I used all the numbers that correlate with regular season success, you know, batting average, OBP, slugging, you know, defensive value, all these things. And none of them correlated to postseason success. There was a tiny bit of a relationship with just overall team strength, so wins above replacement, but it wasn't anything like, you know, wins above replacement correlates to like 85% of your wins in the regular season.
Sure.
And it's like 10% of postseason wins. So there's really nothing that really links up. The only thing I could find was defense is slightly more important than it is in the regular season. Having a good lineup is actually is about the best thing you can do in the postseason.
You know, and it's funny, man. I watched some of the games yesterday too, and I'm happy. I like to see, you know, teams like the Tigers do their thing, and teams like the Royals. It's fun for me. You know, the Padres obviously have some different expectations now based on some of the pieces they added throughout the season. You know, but nice to see those guys find a way to win two games against some, you know, clearly better lineups and you know, maybe equal pitching in both cases, if not superior in the Astros and the Tigers. Case you got Scooble, but you know, you went full bullpen day yesterday. It almost backfired, but they found a way to win. It's pretty incredible.
Yeah, and you know, that's the thing is that you know, the way that the roster changes in the postseason can really screw with anything that you're trying to study. You know, what we've seen in the past are teams making it all the way with like six pitchers they trust or five, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, that started kind of with the Nationals when the Nationals won it all. They didn't have a bullpen that they trusted at all, really. And they used their starters in relief and made it all the way to the end. So, you know, you get on a heater, you find some guys you trust, and that's how you get there. I think that's the sort of modern equation that people go through. You know, the only reason I distrust a team like the Royals is, you know, they won two games with three runs.
Right.
And I don't know if that's going to continue.
Is that a testament to them, or is that a testament to the Baltimore Orioles and why their inability to score runs in the for the last two postseasons?
I mean, it's
shocking. You know, I heard Steve Phillips this morning talk about, well, you know, listen, they have the makings of a dynasty there, but you'd like to win one postseason game after all the regular season success the last couple of years.
Yeah, and there's not supposedly such a thing as a hot hand. We're trying to figure that out, you know, when it comes to players. But I think when it comes to teams, it's even harder to prove there's a hot hand because the team is a collection of players. So you're going to say that a whole team goes cold,
right?
And yet that seems to be what's happened in Baltimore. Is, you know, they've been a 500, even I think below 500 team since the first half ended. And so they're going to have to ask some questions about maybe their hitting coaching or they've had such a vaunted system in terms of turning out major league regulars, not only Gunnar Henderson, but other bats that have been really good. And yet they've fallen short. You know, they did also change their stadium to become more fair. But that has killed all right-handed power in that stadium. And that, I don't know, that seems to be somewhat relevant to their issues with scoring runs. So I don't know what to tell Baltimore, because I agree with Steve Phillips that they seem to be in the right position to go on a run. But this is two straight years where they've kind of petered out at the end of the year.
Talking to Eno Saris from The Athletic, and Eno, you spoke about the different strategies you sometimes see pitching-wise in the postseason, and the Padres may have to employ that with the uncertainty now with Joe Musgrove going forward and the elbow injury yesterday. As soon as, you know, maybe next Wednesday, they're going to have to decide on either a fourth starter like a Martin Perez, or perhaps going with a bullpen day with, they've got an elite bullpen and you could try to piece it together. What's your kind of thinking on the way the Padres should approach this after Dylan Cease, Yu Darvish, and Michael King?
Yeah, I think you'd start the game with Martin Perez, and you know who I'm going to mention here. You can call it from a mile away.
Morejon.
You're very predictable that way.
What I love, actually, is, you know, I did this thing where I was trying to look at the different starting rotations and the different bullpens for the postseason, and I couldn't land on the exact right number to compare them all, but what I did is I took the first four starters and the first four relievers, and I looked at their projections, and I have projections that use Stuff Plus and along with regular numbers, and the Padres projected to have the best bullpen in the playoffs, and the Padres projected to have the best rotation in the playoffs. Now, that did include Joe Musgrove, so that's hurt a little bit. But who it didn't include was Adrian Morejon and Brian Hoeing. So, you know, they actually go six plus deep in the bullpen, where other teams are, you know, happy to have three that they trust. So I think what you do is you start the game with Martin Perez, and sometimes Martin Perez is on.
Yeah.
And especially in San Diego, he's been throwing the curveball more, and, you know, maybe the team he's facing hasn't seen that. And maybe he can give you three or four. If he only gives you two, then you go to Hoeing and Morejon and you get to the back end. And so it's a modified bullpen day.
Talking to Eno Saris here on Ben and Woods this morning. So give us kind of your preview of what we're looking at this weekend with the Dodgers. Obviously, you know, Flaherty's a really good pitcher. Yamamoto can be really devastating and nasty at times. It'll be his first playoff start. Beyond that, you know, Walker Buehler, who threw pretty well against the Padres, and then Landon Knack, who the Padres got to, if it gets to a game four situation. But, I'm not taking this Dodger team lightly. Why would I? You know, they have the most wins in baseball. They are the number one seed. They have home field advantage throughout the World Series. They're calling themselves underdogs and no one believes in them. But I look at that team and I remain, you know, in respect of them, certainly.
Yeah, I mean, we can go through each of the different elements of the team and you can say, okay, the Padres will have the starting pitching advantage or it'll be 50-50 in every game, right? So you give the Padres a starting pitching advantage. You look at the bullpen, you say, well, okay, the Padres have the bullpen advantage. Then you go to the lineup, and though the Padres were a great lineup and in some way superior to the Dodgers lineup during the regular season, the Dodgers lineup didn't really become whole until the end of the season.
Yeah.
They were missing a lot of guys throughout the season. And it's important because when you have those guys back, even somebody like a Muncy, they replace somebody like a Kike Hernandez is not that good with the bat, right? So there's fewer holes now in this Dodger lineup than there have been at different parts of the season. So I would give the lineup probably a slight edge to the Dodgers. So this is a really evenly matched situation. I think they go 8-5. The Padres went 8-5 against the Dodgers during the regular season. They were all tight games. I expected to go 7. But I've been picking the Padres to go all the way. So.
I wish it was 7. It's 5. Yeah. I said the same thing earlier. I don't expect.
I mean, Major League Baseball might want it to go 7 at this point. Oh, they're so 100%. Hyped about this series. Like,
you know,
get a couple more ratings boosts for game 6 and 7.
So I walked into yesterday. I went up to say hi to our radio guys, Jesse Agler and Tony Gwynn Jr. And Tony Gwynn Jr. and AJ Casavell, one of our writers, were going at it in the room about how you fix the playoffs, right? If it needs fixing. I know it's a small sample size, the rest versus rust situation, which is fascinating.
AJ's a rebel. He'd get rid of the infield fly rule if he could. He would give you an RBI and a double play if he could.
As he should, by the way.
He's still a rebel.
That's a run batted in. I don't care what anybody says. I give it to my adult league team. If you hit a double play, you get an RBI. You drove in a run. That being said, you know, it's only been a couple of years of the new system. Astros were really the only one to be able to kind of get through it so far, and even they didn't even get through the wild card this year. But when you look at it, I heard AJ say, get rid of a couple of regular season games and play best of sevens throughout. And I mean, I would sign up for it today because there's nothing better than this. Nothing.
That's an interesting thing. I mean, I think we've had in this wildcard format, 10 out of 12 have been sweeps. I think it's just weird that you just get that momentum, that first win, and then it's over.
It could be over,
for the most part. You know, there is an interesting system. You know, everything about the playoffs, you know, is not only just about the playoffs themselves, but about the value of the regular season. Because, you know, that's why you give buys, because those teams were so great during the regular season that they deserve a bye in the first round. You don't want to devalue the regular season because it's so long. And honestly, if you devalue it, then why do we do it for 6 months,
right?
You know? So one thing that they do in Korea that's kind of interesting is that basically the home team in the wild card series starts the series basically 1-0. Like, the road team has to win 2. But the home team only has to win 1.
Wow.
I sort of see that, though. I mean, you really give a team an advantage to winning the regular season. Now, it's funny, though, because if they both finish with 89 wins and it comes down to a tiebreaker, that seems like a huge advantage over two teams that had identical seasons. Whereas, like, you could have a wild card team that wins 106 games playing an 82-win wild card team, and then it feels like maybe not enough of an advantage there.
Yeah. So anyway, I mean, that system is good for sort of valuing the regular season. I don't know what it does. It doesn't feel very upsetty. It makes it very hard to do upsets.
Sure.
I guess. And then people like upsets. So
yeah, I love them.
You know.
Yeah.
So you don't want to devalue that. And then if you one thing that I do not like about the basketball playoffs, and I like the NBA, is that they're too long. They're really long.
They let
too many teams in, and the first round is pretty much awful. I mean, I don't know that we've had an upset with the current NBA rules. I don't think we've had a first-round upset in forever. And it's mostly a bad team against a good team in the first round, and you're just like, why am I watching? Why do they have to have multiple games of this, you know?
Yeah.
So I think that's something you want to do too. It's like, watch how many you let in. You don't want to devalue the postseason by letting too many people in and making it too long.
Before you go, I teased this question, so I wanted to ask you, because you did say that defense does get a little bit more important in the postseason. I want to ask about Jackson Merrill's defense, and I don't know how much you looked into the metrics, how hard it is to project a guy who'd never played center field and how he would do, but he seems like he's getting even better and better. I know his outs above average, really, really good for a rookie that he never played the position. What were some of your impressions this season of Jackson in center?
Yeah, I got to vote for the Gold Glove this year, the Fielding Bible awards, and so I looked into center field, and I was really impressed. I probably shouldn't reveal, but you know, I didn't give him the number one spot. I mean, it's kind of a clear number one, I think, but he's in my top five. And I thought he did a really excellent job. One of the things that you can tell before you put a guy in center is that wheels are important, and he obviously has the wheels. Youth is important. We've stopped giving any center field appearances to guys over 30. I think there were like two of them this year in all of baseball. So, you know, you get to youth, you got your speed. And I think that, you know, just having him out and left a little bit gave him the idea, you know, that there are some guys that have a little bit of trouble tracking the ball when it's what's in the air. I remember Daniel Murphy, they put him out in the outfield and he couldn't see the ball or whatever it was. So, you know, once they saw that he could handle left field, I think it was pretty obvious that he could handle center.
Eno, really appreciate it as always. Hopefully you can get down to San Diego for a playoff game at some point. We'd love to see you. Either way, we'll talk to you next Thursday. Thank you so much.
All right, thanks.
Thanks, buddy.
Eno Sarah, Smart Baseball, presented each week by 7 Mile Casino.
Oh, my God.
Insight from one Eno Saris. All right, Woods, we've got 1 hour left until the roundtable, of course. I know.
I forgot about it.
We'll come back. Paulie's got some Rindle Report headlines. Do you have that rap edited yet from the Detroit Tigers? We need to talk about the other games. We haven't really gotten into the other games yet.
It'll take him an hour.
But we will discuss the other three wild card series and more when we return with Bennett Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real, we're transparent, we're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.